This is message M058, the power of the spoken word. A word given by Cecil J. DuSile, 20th of June, 1973.
Body ministry, and we want to encourage you that the ministry of the body is not a one-man ministry. The ministry of the body is a ministry, a five-fold ministry of the five ministerial gifts of God working through his people. That is, God does have ministries, ministers who minister the ministries in the body ministry. But that behind every ministry and behind every minister, there are ministries inside the church. Let me try to explain that to you. My hand can raise, but if something wasn't behind my hand, it would be no go. There have got to be muscles, nerves, everything, and I've got to feed the mouth to make the hand raise. So the hand can't work if the mouth doesn't work. And the mouth doesn't retain anything for itself. It's got to put it in the stomach, and the stomach has got to change it into the energy that I need and then distribute it to the body evenly. So bless God, God has given us the message in our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the living God, and the whole message of God is written in this temple. Can you understand why so many are in the hospital? Can you understand why so many are sick and can't get better? Because they have been doing despite to the body of Christ. Your bodies are the temple of the living God, and any time you get wrong spiritually, you get wrong physically. Amen. You correct yourself spiritually, and the physical begin to correct itself. If you find a sickness coming forth in your body, commit it to God, and God will show you that you are doing the same thing to the body of Christ. Yes, sir. I am showing you, of course, this is wisdom. And in this kind of wisdom, you don't just get it overnight. God has got to reveal it to you. And when I'm speaking to you, if I speak to you and you believe it, it means that God is revealing something to you. Amen. Because you're not supposed to believe this kind of thing unless God is telling you something. I'm being urged to tell you a story of something that happened to me since I left here the last time. When I was going down to Springfield, I had a vision. And this vision is that I saw the Lord came to me and said to me, he showed me a fruit. This fruit was as big as a melon. And it had a skin outside just as an ordinary fruit, but it had a big seed inside of it. It was like this, and it had a big seed, something like that. Hard seed in the middle of it. And God said to me, this is the people of God, the whole church. And he said, Jerusalem is compassed with armies. And he did not say it to mean that Jerusalem down there. He said it to mean the people of God. And I began to listen to him, and he said, this compassing was demon spirits that are attacking the church. Now, some of the things that are happening to you, brethren, it's not natural, it is devils. Some of your business going bad, some of you have got to learn from now onward. May God help us from this message tonight, that you will learn to command the very elements to do what you want it to do. Stop begging and feeling that you are no good and you're no go. Just begin, get up, and command what you want. Last year, everywhere we went, we had summer weather in the winter. And it became so regular that we had to realize that something was happening. There was snow and ice before us. When we reached there, sun came out and that snow melted and ice, and it was just warm weather. All through the winter, we had a beautiful winter traveling from place to place. Every time we left a place, there was bad weather. When we went into somewhere else, there was good weather. And God was showing us something. We can command the weather. We can, of course, Now, I'm not talking about children playing around. I'm talking about people of God having something to do and want the way that to do it by. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about selfish desires, because my selfish desires won't clash against yours. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then God couldn't help both of us. So God is not working in selfishness, and we're going to get into that tonight. But then he showed me that this fruit was attacked, and an attack came against the fruit and tore off the skin. Whatever it was, insects or whatever it was, but this fruit was attacked, and he said, Jerusalem is compassed about it, army. And they tore off the skin, and then they kept attacking until they destroyed the pulp. And they got down to the hard seed, and the seed was like a piece of iron. I saw the seed, it was as black as iron, and they attacked the seed. And they could do nothing to the seed. You know what they did to it? They cleaned it off as clean as a penny whistle. Well, that's British. They cleaned off the seed as shine as ever it could be. And the seed was glistening. And God said, that's my hardcore. That's my elect. They'll never bring it. Bless God Almighty. And this is what is happening to us in this hour. This is the reason I am frantically trying to get people to press into the elect. I am not deceiving you, brethren. There is an elect, and there are those who are not in the elect. And if we keep being careless, if we keep going on in the realm of understanding that we have been going on in, we will not be able to stand when the vicious attack is launched against us. Hallelujah. Tonight, by the grace of God, we want to talk about the spoken word. You will be condemned by the things that you speak, or you will be blessed by the things that you speak. But some of the things we are speaking are happening when we didn't want them to happen. When we get mad and we speak out of our mouths, the things happen and we wonder why such and such a thing happened. You fear that an accident is going to happen, and the thing that you fear came upon you. Why? Hallelujah. You remember scripture which says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And in Psalm 91, I'm speaking of Hebrews 12 verse 1. And Psalm 91 says that around us God has angels. He'll give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, brethren, we are not in a physical world. It only appears physical to our eyes because we are so physical. We are in a spiritual world, and there is spiritual battle going on around us. And we need to understand what is happening. Now, we command not only good spirits, but we command evil spirits too. This is what we call sorcery. Many people commit sorcery without knowing. But sorcery is the easiest thing to do. Amen. Sorcery is the easiest thing to do. I've seen sorcery done by tea leaves in a cup. As simple as ABC, a woman, Mavis and I, went to work at a polling station in an election, and a woman looked at us, she gave us a cup of tea. And we took the cup of tea, the polling station was in our house, and after we drank the tea, she came and she seized the cups. And she said, ha-ha, you two are going to get married. Now, nobody knew that. We wouldn't tell anybody. Amen. And it was uncanny. I've seen a person take a pack of cards and they shuffle it. And they begin to say, what about Sister Wright? Tell me about Sister Wright. Tell me about Sister Wright. Tell me about it. And when they finish, they cut the cards and they throw it out. And they start telling Sister Wright, telling you right down the line, Sister Wright's business. You know who tell them? A demon spirit came to their aid because they invoked the devil, and they think it is the cards that's telling them. It's not the cards, it's the devil. Glory to God in the highest. Simple things. As kids, we used to take leaves. If you played over play of time, going home in the evening, you want to know if mother is going to be mad at you or she's going to whip you. And you take a leaf and you spit on the leaf and throw it behind your back, and you ask the question, is mother, if mother is going to be all right, let the leaf turn up, and if not, let it turn down. Simple things like that, they work. Because devils want to work for you. Now bless God Almighty. The angel bands do work for you too. God's spirits work for you. Amen. That's how faith works. And so faith can only work through love. Faith can only work through love. But devils work through anything. You just give half a chance to a devil and he's on the go. I have a sister down in Florida, and she was one day going down the street, and some boys were buzzing her car with bicycles, and they buzz her and they tease her and they buzz her and they tease. She got blind mad and she said, I hope a car may come and kill you. When she was coming back, she was just in time to see the ambulance taking the boy off. She killed him as much as if she had taken a gun and shot him dead. For she wished it, and the devils that were around were glad to take the authority of a Christian and run for it and do it. For they can do nothing except you give them the authority to do it. Last night we were talking about devils and the demonic kingdom. Tonight it is a fit thing to talk about the power of the spoken word. Praise God. Now let's turn our Bible around to Psalm 33 and verse 9. For he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. He spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. This he we are talking about is Jesus Christ. You want the proof for that? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. John's Gospel, Brother John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Praise God. Amen. I want you to notice the word made, because the word made is an active verb. You must deliberately do something. It's an active verb. And this word made, as expressed in the Greek, it meant that he deliberately formed it with his own hands. The Bible says, God made good and created evil. The Bible said, God made light and created dark. And if you notice in Genesis, the scripture said that God made all things good. God is incapable of making evil. Now that's very much different from what some people teach you. Now what am I talking about? Then if he said he made all things, didn't he make the devil too? No, God never made a devil, because the devil was not made. You notice, watch your scripture carefully. The wording of your scripture is absolutely precision. He said, he made all things that were made. Brethren, those of you who study logic and all that, don't you notice that he's saying that there were some things that are in existence that weren't made? That's what that passage is saying, that he made all things that were made. There are some things that are in existence that wasn't made. Now let's check on some of those things. God made good. But because God made good, by all the laws of God, there must be an opposite to good. Amen. And God's angels begin to think, well, if God is good, then what about the opposite pole? Could there be an opposite pole? So immediately on the making of good, he automatically created the opposite pole. Amen. As I said before, God made, man made cars, but they didn't make pollution. It was created by the emission of the car. It was something that nobody would go around making pollution. You deliberately made the car, and then the car, the cause and effect, you had pollution coming from the car. Amen. So God made good, and automatically evil was there. Amen. And now, what is God doing with you, brethren, and I? God is using us to cancel evil. Can you understand what I'm talking about? God is using us to stop evil from ever coming up again through time and eternity, because we are going to be the eternal watchmen of God, watching over God's universe, that no evil will come back up again. Because somebody said, okay, if evil is the opposite of good, and God didn't make evil, but he made good, when God make us good, don't the opposite will still be there? We will cancel it. We will stop it before evil comes up. God's got his watchmen to stop evil. There will be no more evil. Can you understand what I'm talking about? I'm saying, brethren, that nothing was made that God did not make, and I'm clearing up that point. For some people are blaming God for making a devil when God did not make a devil. God made a beautiful angel. Yes, last night we read the scriptures where it said he was perfect in all his ways when God made. But you see, wherever there is perfection and there is free will choice, then free will choice can cancel perfection any moment. Any one of us here can be a devil if we want to, but we don't want to, and we won't want to, because we want to be like Jesus. This is the will he planted in us. But before the blood of Jesus was shed, those angels had the free will choice, and they had the choice to choose between God and the opposite pole. Hallelujah. And some of them did choose. And even after they chose, God gave them the opportunity of re-choosing. And I'm going to tell you something very peculiar tonight. Any angel that is in hell could choose heaven now and repent. God has not blocked them from repentance, but they can't repent. That's their problem. You see, it's like no man goes to hell because he sins. Check your whole Bible through, and you'll find out that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it's not because of sin why we are going to hell, but it's because of rejection of the way to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. God opened the door, call you, come, this is the way. And God cannot allow one man to go into hell unless God present his son to him. whether he be a barbarian, a heathen, a beast, whatever he is while he's human, Jesus Christ has got to manifest himself to him before he dies. Or even at the gate, when he's passing through from time into eternity, Jesus has to present himself to him. Must. At least one time. And he must reject that Jesus at least one time. You know, some people ask the question, what about the heathen that never heard about Jesus? Brethren, they don't have to know him by the name Jesus. I, in my consciousness as a child, I remember now very clearly that there was something out there. I couldn't tell what it was. I didn't know his name was Jesus. I didn't know he was God. I just know there was something fearful. In my youth, when I got blind, mad, in a blind rush of temper, and I run down a man and go to kill him, I remember something up there. Yes, even in my blind temper, and I would draw back. Several times that happened. And I knew that there was something dogging my steps. Something up there. God somewhere. Amen. Every heathen knows that. Bless his holy name. Nothing was evil made by God. All the evil you see around here is inventions. God never made them. God give you the power to make as much evil as you want, or to walk in the good that he has provided for you. Praise his holy name. We go on right now. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and peace. So we see here that it was Jesus Christ who made these things. We turn around to Genesis 1 verse 3, and we see the command. The command of God that creates. Therefore, watch it now. When we command, what are we using? The Word. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who are we commanding? Amen. Peter and John went by the gate beautiful. There was this man with the withered leg. And he was there sitting down, a cripple, begging alms. He opened his heart, give me something. They said, look on us. And he said, boy, this is going to be a great gift. This must be a gold piece or something. You know, he's expecting. This is what the look created. He looked into his eyes. And he said, silver and gold have I none. He said, what could it be? He said, but such as I have, okay, give I thee. Yes, let's have it. You know, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I believe that man heard crack, 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 crack. And Peter grabbed him by his hand and he bless his holy name. You better believe it, that, amen, Peter commanded the deliverance by the Word of God. And this is the reason why you are going to command it. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about whether you are poor or weak or Christian or whatever you are. And just think about the Word of God and command it in the name of Jesus Christ. Your seed out there done. Because this is the only command that the spirits of God can obey. They are with you. You have all the power of heaven sitting down there with you. Now let's go on. Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. There was light. Amen. Let there be light. And there was light. Now, look at Psalm 148:5. Psalm 148, verse 5. Hallelujah. He said here, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Praise God. Now, I want to take you to another word in Isaiah. Isaiah. And it's verse chapter 45. And in verse 7 it said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Look again at verse 11. Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. You command God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You command God. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and 6. Deuteronomy 32 and 6. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Yeah. We are dealing with the power of the spoken word. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people, and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? I might have missed that passage, but the passage I'm looking for is the one which speaks about command. Is it what? Verse 7? Praise God. But we can afford to skip that. We'll find another time. Now, the word ask, if you turn around to Matthew chapter 7, and if you notice this word here in Ezekiel, in Isaiah 45 and verse 11, in one place he said, ask me of things to come. And then he went on and said, command me. Now, why did he say, ask me in one place and command me in the other place? I'll give you the answer. The answer is that ask and command mean the same thing in this script. In Matthew chapter 7, you have verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And you ask why? The reason is, if you take out the word ask and put command, you'll understand why. Command and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that commandeth, findeth. For everyone that commandeth, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. Does it make more better sense? Praise be to God. God is teaching his children to be sons. Amen. God is teaching his children to be full-fledged sons, sons of faith who can command their father's servants. What am I talking about? Hallelujah. I'm saying that all the unseen band of angels standing around this building tonight are the servants of Almighty God and your servants. God said that they are servants, ministering spirit. The word minister doesn't mean a pretty boy with a collar who goes around and is the boss of all the churches. That's not the meaning of minister. The word minister comes from minister, which means servant. Minister didn't mean minister. It means servant. It's only in English, minister means big shot. As the Bible was written, minister means servant. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, command me, and it shall be done for every man that commandeth, receive. Hallelujah. Now, can you understand that this is a state of mind you've got to get into? Amen. So it's better, instead of talking foolishness, it's better to go and sit down quietly with God and get around with God till you get the power to command. We were out in Pasadena a few weeks ago, and there came a girl into the congregation. She was sitting there, and I didn't know, of course, that she had a limp. But she was sitting there, and the Lord said, call her up. So I called her up and said, well, sister, forgive me calling you up, but I don't know why I called you up. I said, the Lord said to call you up. She said, I know why. She said, I met a motor car accident, and I have a short leg. Said, this leg is 3 inches shorter than the other leg. And she said that I believe God wants to heal this leg for me this morning. And I said, okay, then sit down, get your back straight against the chair. And so she did, and the leg was short. And so as I was about to go pray for her again, the Lord said, call that young man over there, let him pray for her. Amen. And so, bless God, you know, it's such a joy to bless the people of God. This young man needed some boost. He needed a blessing. Amen. And so he came along, and he knelt down, and he started praying, to, oh, Lord, and all of a sudden, the brother said, stretch forth your leg. And it came out of him. Yes. And the leg, the girl, her back went, cow. I heard bones crack and cry in her back. And all and the leg went like this. Past the other leg. I said, my Lord, I have to pray for the other leg now. then the leg came back like this. I said, oh. And it gradually went right back out and stood there. You never seen anything like that. It was such a blessing to that poor boy. He started preaching from that time. He was loosed, you know. You know, people kind of bind you up sometimes. People bind your ministry. They tell you this and that and the other, and oh, God's not doing this nowadays. And so they get you bound up. If you have a ministry, you must be loosed. We want a group, a church, a congregation of people that will lose everybody's ministry. His ministry is not supposed to be like mine. Every man, every woman, every child has a ministry. You doubt me? Read it in your Bible before you start doubting me. Before you start doubting me, turn your Bible over to Ephesians, and I show you that you have a ministry. Amen. The ministers are going out to a job. That's what's happening. Ministers are supposed to preach themselves out of a job. Ephesians tell me that. Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, sir. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does it say? It says the saints are being perfected in the work of the ministry. This is the saints that are going to minister. And then it says, till we all come. The perfecting of the work of the ministry until we all come in the unity of the faith. Hallelujah. What's going on here? The scripture is saying that the ministry is preaching themselves out of a job, and they are lifting the church until they and the church will be upon the same standard. Both minister and church is being perfected together. Therefore, the church, the body of Christ, is the important thing. The minister is the servant. bless his holy name. Not the big shot, the servant. So the ministry is supposed to be training the church to minister. Bless God Almighty. This is just what we envision for this area. We envision a place. We envision a place like a farm or a big school or some place where we can take the people of God together and teach them how to walk in the word and the power of the Spirit and get their mind off the involvement with the world until they get the power to go forth. Amen. And the body that remains behind here, stand behind them and let them go. For if you don't go now, you won't go ever. Amen. And so this is what I see for this area. And brethren, I have no more time to fool around with people who don't want to go. Those who want to go, start now. I don't believe in your involvement with the church system. I believe those church system out there are playing around, and they're playing around until the tribulation hit them. That's what they're playing around for. I believe the true people of God should just shut their minds from those places and begin to walk with God. Every man walking in the ministry and the life in which God has given him. For brothers and sisters, too long ministers have been trying to make everybody like themselves. The beauty of God is variety. And if your manifestation is not like mine, it means you've got something to give me. And all of us should be working in the realm in which God has anointed and appointed us. And this is what makes the body powerful. I am sure I couldn't fall if I had a body of people like you with me. For you would not allow me to fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember the case with the trailer. I wanted a motor home. But several people saw a trailer. And I just hated the thought of pulling a trailer behind me. Amen. But several people saw the trailer. And I said, God, I want a motorhome, you know that. I said, but if you want me to have a trailer, you let me have what you want me to have. And when I went down and I could, the way was open. God, the same God that was leading me, opened up the way for me to get the motor home wide open. The Chrysler Corporation passed the credit. The credit is sitting down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you want it. Yeah, and they passed the credit. And now that was difficult for me because I'm a new citizen here. And they passed it. And when they passed it, I had no the power to get the motor home. I wouldn't get it. Too many people were seen otherwise. So I draw back. I said to the man, okay, I said, I'll go to California. Brother Nenny felt that I shouldn't go into the debt. My wife felt that I shouldn't go into the debt. And I didn't feel too good. So I said, I'm going to give way to the body. I go to California. I said to the brother there, I said, God will give me the money to buy the motor home when I get to California. When I got to California, you know what happened to me? God said, give away the money you got from the people in Illinois. Give it to this brother in need. Scripture come to me, if you see your brother in need. So I took up the $1,500 and gave it to him. And so now I'm coming on my way home without a motorhome, without trailer or anything. And I'm wondering, what am I going to tell the people in Peoria? Because some said we should give back the money if we didn't buy. And I said, well, I'm going to have to face them. So I made up my mind. And God sent a man and said, God said that I'm to give you that car and the trailer You come down and we pick out one. He went down and he bought one for $3,400. And he gave me the car value of around $4,000. He gave me the title. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I saw him the first time. Praise be to God. And I can tell you, brethren, that we are walking in a spiritual realm where God is saying to us, now begin to speak the word for what you want. Speak it aloud. You know, brethren, God showed me some years ago, whenever you feel beat, whenever you feel defeated, whenever you have anything negative, never talk it. Some years ago, God showed me that. Never talk it. And the devil hasn't got one word out of my wife and I for a very long time. Sometimes she's suffering. I look into her face. I see deep lines. Suffering. She's under some pain. She won't tell me because the devil's going to hear. So I just pray with her. Silently. Amen. I learned never to talk it. Amen. And so when the devil hit you, say the opposite to how you feel. You think you could do that? Somebody said, but it's a lie. No, it's not a lie. Hallelujah. You have three realms of overcoming. Three realms. And the last realm of manifestation is in the flesh. Things happen in the spirit long before they happen in the flesh. With brother Daniel, it was 21 days before God had given him all that he had asked for and he didn't know about it. Because it took some time to come through the Prince of Persia. I'll say the Prince of Peoria. I've held up some of you, the Prince of Bloomington over there. It may be the same devil that ruled Peoria, that ruled Bloomington. We don't know how the barriers are. But there are devils that are in charge of every area. And we have felt it. We pass from one area into another. And the people behave differently. They have a different sin. They go differently. You drive from here over to Los Angeles and you find out something. It's so marked. It's so different. The people over there in Los Angeles area, in Hollywood, in all that area, the whole coast going up San Francisco, they're wild. They're different. You know, the homosexual spirit, for instance, you have ministers with their collar on carrying a placard saying, I'm a homosexual. Yes, I got the pictures in my car there somewhere in a magazine. Carrying a card downtown, Los Angeles. I'm a homosexualist and I want my rights. You see, I heard this with my own ears. The minister come over and saying homosexuality is a gift of God. Amen. I just cut out the paper last night. The bishop, the assistant bishop of England was speaking in New York and he said something like 90% of the priests are homosexuals. He said it. I'll show you the paper. See. But brethren, this is what I'm talking about. The spirits that rule one area are different from the spirits that rule another area. And so you people have got to overcome the spirit in this area. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. And before, this is the reason why Jesus said, when you preach, like you, Brother Jerry, you're just a young preacher, God just moving you into preaching. He said, start preaching in Jerusalem, your back door, your backyard. Start preaching right in the town where you live. He said, then you'll be qualified to preach in the next town. Then you go into Judea. Then you go into Samaria. Then you're fit for all the world. You understand why he said that? Because you have got to overcome the devil that is ruling over your life from you were a boy. From your home where you live. Then when you beat him, you get a qualification or a certificate. It's like gaining your BA. Then you go on to your master's. Then you get your doctorate. Then you are fit to go practice. You see what I mean? You've got to lick him here, and you go over the other man's territory and lick him, and go to another territory and lick him, and then you're qualified for all the world, for you have licked three devils. Spirits, princes, principalities, princes that rule over a polity, which is a kingdom. And each one has his kingdom, and Satan going around offering people kingdoms. Amen. Some preachers, brother, let me tell you something about preachers. You have got to be tested in 7 points. And before you're really a preacher, that you can really go out. Because Satan is going to test you with material things. He's going to test you with carnality. He's going to test you in your home affairs with your wife. He's going to test you on the street. He's going to test you in every way, in every area that man can fall. And when you're qualified, no devil stop you. Hallelujah. Three areas. When we pray, God issues forth light into the spirit realm to give us. Then it comes into the mind of man. And when it comes into the mind and the mind accepts it, the very emotions will feel it. That's why God says, when ye pray, whatsoever you pray for, believe that you have received it. Then your very emotions begin to respond. You say, God, thank you. And you feel good, like you get $1 billion. Because you've got it. You got it. When you get it in your soul, then it will pass on to your body. And then it will be manifested to the whole world. Hallelujah. Bless God, bless his holy name. Oh God, did I pray for somebody's eyes last night? Sister, I prayed for somebody's eyes last night. Yes, bless God Almighty. Amen. As I speak, you know, I see this thing before me. She's healed. The blessing of God has healed her. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. I just remember now. Yes, and I'm going to tonight. I knew that. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you see, you must wait on prayer. Don't pray for a thing until you believe it. And when you believe it, you are commanding it. God says, command the blessing. Amen. You must stop praying weak prayers. Never go to God and say, oh Lord, have mercy upon me, oh God. Hear my cry. That's why I don't believe in supplication in the way that people believe in supplication, wetting up their pillow and putting their head down and crying. No, sir. I cannot see it. If I believe my father, I go to him and say, Dad, I need so-and-so right now. I've got to have it to fix the thing. I know it is dear. I know my father has it. I know my father's heart that he wants to give me. Why am I crying? Oh, God. That's not compatible with faith. Hallelujah. I believe we have... It's time we step from the stage of doubts and fears and crimes and complaints into the stage of commanding God, believing God, and receiving from God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you again, brother. Brother Wright, you pray for rain now. Immediately God sends the rain. Never you doubt in your heart, but that God at his high throne calls to his angels and said, give him rain. Bless God Almighty. between the giving the rain and you receiving the rain, that's another story. Amen. Because God said that the prince of Persia held up Gabriel. You know who Gabriel is. Brother, you can't imagine who Gabriel is. Gabriel is God's powerful messenger. And when God sent him, he got to go. And when he goes, nothing stops him. Because God sent him, he's God's right arm as his messenger. And he dwells in the second heaven next to God. Amen. And all these mighty ones, we never even hear of their names, but at least we know two. We know three, as I said. One fell, Lucifer. He seemed to have been in the very highest position up there, and he fell. And then there is Michael, who is a prince that fighteth for the people of God, and there's Gabriel the messenger. And when God sent Gabriel, brother, you better believe it, that there's nothing on earth or in hell to stop Gabriel. But Gabriel get held up. Gabriel get held up on a technicality for 21 days. And he couldn't bring the message down to Daniel. And he had to call back to heaven for help. And this is not play acting. This is not play acting. It's a matter that the prince of Persia had power. Where did he get the power? From the people. The devils get the power from you to stop God's messenger that you pray for. So you better believe it, that the people down there were worshiping this devil, and Daniel was claiming the people for God. God, thy people, and thy people was down there worshiping devils in Babylon. You said, brother, do you say where you get that? I get that because when the Nebuchadnezzar call out that, when I play the sackbut and the dulcimer and the harp and all the instruments, I want everybody to bow down their knees. There were thousands of Jews there and only three boys stood up. Say, let us die, we won't bow. Bless God Almighty. Only three stood up out of thousands of Jews. They all bowed. Bless his holy name. We are speaking about the spoken word. Now let's look at the demonstration of this thing. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we will see here the demonstration of, yes. Matthew 8. Matthew 8, yep. And we see here the demonstration of the spoken word. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now I want you to note those words. Those are the words of Jesus. And brother, believe you me, when Jesus said, I will come and heal him, every angel jumped to attention, ready to go. It wasn't magic Jesus was using. He was using angelic power. And I'm going to prove it to you from the scripture. Amen. He said, I will come and heal him. And the angels stood at attention waiting for the word. Amen. And so, Jesus, the centurion, Jesus said unto verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Amen. Now, that was astounding, but the next verse is more astounding. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. My, what was he saying? Hallelujah. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You heard what he called it? Faith. The man was only observing the machinations of the Spirit. The man was only observing the mechanics of God's operation. Jesus called it faith. That's what we want you to do. Brethren, do you know if you understand what happened when you pray, that you will stop doubting? If you know that an angel is standing behind you waiting on you to tell him what to do, you know. It's not Aladdin's lamp and the genie now. Amen. It is the angels of God standing at attention waiting for you to tell them what to do. And so, the spoken word is going to do something here. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. When Jesus heard it, verse 11, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, the angel still didn't move. He's waiting for the command. Command me. He's waiting for the command. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Hallelujah. The angel that was with Jesus, working with him, immediately obeyed not Jesus, not what Jesus said, but what the centurion believed. Glory to God in the highest. Whatever he believed that day, it was going to happen. Bless God Almighty, because the word was spoken. Amen. One night, I was praying all night. Jesus was speaking to me. And I didn't sleep, so morning began to dawn, and it was 6 o'clock. And I looked up and saw it was 6, and I wanted to get a little sleep before daylight, before I get up till 8 at least. And so I turned over to sleep, and the devil was so mad with me that he jumped right into my ear, and I heard a loud buzzing sound like an airplane. And I know, brother, when that thing reached a height, it would just click my eardrum. And I grabbed it and I said, the Lord God rebuke you, Satan. I said, the blood of Jesus be upon you, Satan. And man, it just increased. And Jesus, he always comes and helps me out in time. Because when you're frightened, you will always do the wrong thing. You preach as much as you want and you get frightened, you do the wrong thing. And Jesus came right down beside me, whispered in my ears. He said, tell him to go. In other words, the devils need a clear, clean command from you. And I said, get out, Satan. That is it. Amen. Devils need a clean, clear command. Watch Jesus, and every miracle that he did, every healing that he did, he gave a clear command. He said, come out of him. He said, stretch forth thine hand. See, that's not the time to pray. You should be prayed up before. I'm not criticizing ministers who come before the congregation and pray. I'm not saying that men shouldn't come and say, brethren, let us pray, and oh God, bless this meeting, and so on, so on, so on. But I do know that when a man comes into a meeting, he should have the blessing before that. Amen. It's not time to come into the meeting and start saying, oh, do God, please. If I come in the meeting and I start praying, I say, thank you, God, for the victory. Thank you, God, for the glory. Thank you, God, for the power. Thank you, God, for these people with ears to hear and hearts to understand. Blessed be the God Almighty. When you're going to pray and make the devil hear, give him a good one. Yes, sir. Let him hear a prayer of victory. Never let him hear a prayer of defeat. Some of us praying for people, we throw them down more than lift them up. Oh, poor brother so-and-so, Lord. Help him, Lord. He's so poor and wretched. He went and he stole 5 chickens yesterday. And he thought, brother, you're knocking down that brother more than anything else. You're telling all the devils what they can do to kill him. Amen. These devils hang around you to find out what your weakness is, where your weakness lies. They can't touch you in the spirit because you rise above them every time you get in the spirit. Therefore, you must practice how to get in the spirit. Yes, sir. Practice that if you get upset, how you must get in the spirit. Amen. Sometimes I play all kind of tricks in the devil. I get upset and I know I'm upset. I keep stomping around. I switch on the tape with the gospel. Switch on the tape with the gospel. And the gospel begin to be read. And as the word begin to be read, the devil start drawing back. Let them get out of your house. Switch on some good singer, some music that you like. Amen. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? I like to hear Jack Holcomb and men like that sing. And oh, brother, anyone you like, you keep a record nearby. In time the devil starts fooling around your house, turn that record on. Turn it up loud that you can hear it. And let the music flood through the house. God Almighty said, when Saul got mad, David came and he played the harp. And it drove the devil away out of the house. While he was playing, no devil plagued Saul. Bless God Almighty, that's just a little wisdom. But the devil will try all kind of tricks on you. You try some tricks on them. Amen. I had a way of repeating the psalm. Remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. It's my comfort in my affliction. And I keep repeating the psalm, brother. I almost know the whole of the psalm by heart now. Just keep repeating them. When I get in trouble, that means I was always in trouble. Always repeating the psalms. Oh, brother. Command deliverance for Jacob. You know who Jacob was? The carnal Israel. Command deliverance for Jacob. The Psalm 44:4. Command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we trod them down that rise up against us. For we got not the land in possession by our own sword, neither did our own arm save us. But thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto us. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Yes, sir. When you finish, repeat that, every devil leave. Psalm 44. Psalm 44 and Psalm 119, the longest one in the book, but it blesses. Let's go on. And then Jesus said unto the centurion, verse 13, go thy way, and as thou believest, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. Hallelujah. The centurion knew the workings of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we have time for a few more scriptures. I want to push this point right into your heart so that you might know what God is saying. Let's go around to Exodus. In God's dealings with Brother Moses, bless his holy name, and we see God speaking, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 2. And I, Exodus 33, verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Hittite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Bless God. God was saying a peculiar thing here. He was saying, I'll send an angel before you, but I will not go up in the midst of you. Hallelujah. God is now saying to you just the opposite of what he said to the people of Israel in the time of Moses. He's saying to you, I will not send an angel before you, for I'm going up in the midst of you. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the difference? The difference is that God operates in the Spirit. But when the Spirit is in your spirit, then you operate in the Spirit. And that is in God. Follow me? Now, if you put your mind under the Spirit, you will operate in the Spirit and you will operate perfectly, although you are not perfect. You see, you only need to put your mind in the Spirit. How do you get your mind in the Spirit? Begin to train your thinking. Whenever you're going to do something, think, what would the Spirit of God desire? What would Jesus Christ do in this case? What would Jesus Christ say in this case? You know, it was rather amusing. Night before last night, we spoke on the carnal mind, and it brought a lot of upheaval in the hearts of some brethren, and I was, you know, I didn't want to pain them, so some of the things that God brought to me, I didn't bring it up. But what came to me when one of the brothers was saying, if we were more spiritual, we would wear bath suits to church, it occurred to me, how would you like to see Jesus Christ in a bath suit in the church preaching to you? Could you bring the two ideas together, Jesus Christ in the bathroom? Could you bring the idea together of seeing Mary Magdalene, or Mary the mother of Jesus, or somebody else in a shorty? You see what you see, all the idea comes repulsive. Well, that means that you put them against, you put the thought we had against the paragon or the plumb line, and you see it leaning like this in the plumb line straight. Whenever you want to find out whether a thing is right or wrong, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus Christ do? Would Jesus Christ do this? And when you get the answer no, you know definitely that you're wrong. And so, what God is doing, the operation God is having, is no longer to call to you and say, boy, do so and so. It's no longer to have the Holy Ghost even in your spirit telling you, go here, go there, do this, do that. But God is shifting his people from one operation to another. And this is the reason why we are here tonight. The Pentecostal church is only willing to go as far as having the Holy Ghost and getting the Holy Ghost to tell them what to do. But the church of the new order, which God is bringing forth in the dispensation of the fullness of time, is a church that will be motivated from within. You will act as God would act. You will talk as God would talk. You will do what God would do if he were here in the flesh. This is what God wants. God wants, brother, to make you and him one operation so that you can't separate your thinking from God. Yes, this is the operation God wants, a oneness. And Jesus Christ looked at us and he said, Father, give them now the glory which you and I had from the beginning. That thing you and I planned from the beginning, give it to them now. And he said that they may be one, even as I and the Father are one. Even you and I be one as God and Jesus are one. I said, my God, that sounds impossible. But it's so possible. Blessed be to God Almighty. I lift the right foot and you will lift the left. When I ask you, why did you lift your left? You don't know. But the Spirit of God, that same hand that is governing the right foot, is governing the left. Bless God Almighty. I remember I told you the story of Brother Hickey. Brother Hickey is a little country preacher down in the country part of Jamaica there. And Brother Hickey does anything God tells him to do. So one night, God said to Brother Hickey, get up and go preach over in Somerset Bush, over the yonder there. Over in Somerset, nobody lived there. Way over on the one corner of the road, nobody lived there. Said, go there, preach. He took up his little lantern and off he went. Walked probably about 5 miles, went to the spot. He put down his lantern and he took out his text. First he sing a hymn and he pray and take out his text and start to preach. And he preached a message to the trees. Preach to the trees. God anoint him in the bush there and he preach. When he was finished preaching, he closed his Bible and he heard a little rustle. Then he looked, a man just stumbled forward, fell before him, and began to weep. He led the man to Jesus Christ, and then the man pulled out of his waist a long, sharp machete. He said he was waiting, he was on his way to kill a woman. And this preacher just get a hold of him. And he know the man couldn't have seen him. He hadn't seen him. He dodged behind the tree. And the man came right before the tree. Started to preach to him. Hey, man. These things do happen sometimes. Hallelujah. Obedience. God wants some people so stupid that they won't do anything else but obey him, no matter how ignorant they are. Hallelujah.
I'm a little confused. I'm not sure there's no one God speaking to me unless it's an audible or electric or real thing like this. And just a moment you said he was bringing us into a position where the Spirit wouldn't tell us to do this, do that.
No. Motivation. You get the motivation from within. You feel to do this. Brother, I'm going to teach you one wonderful lesson tonight. You cannot do evil and feel satisfied inside here. You cannot do wrong. You cannot do something contrary to the will of God and feel satisfied if you're walking cleanly with God, if your heart is pure. So your problem is only to make sure that your heart is pure. You don't have any ulterior motives. You don't have any wrong intentions. And when your heart is pure, whatever you do and your heart is satisfied, God is pleased. You see, yes, praise God. I'm glad you brought that up, brother. You know, it's so difficult for people to understand these things. What I am giving you free, it takes me years to learn. Much suffering, batterings, mistakes, errors, falling down, getting up. But I learned it, praise God, and that's what's good. Every generation is going to be quicker than the next. I am being tempted to tell you something here. The first people who come forth in the fullness of God are going to activate some others who were nearly ready. And they're going to ripen up the harvest. You farmer, brother. Did you know that if you take a ripe fruit and put it among the green ones, that the hormones from the ripe fruit go into the green fruit and ripen them half the time.
Strawberry's doing it right now.
So when your strawberries start ripening, if you know what you're doing, you don't pick all of them. But you leave some of the ripe ones, and the hormones jump from the ripe fruit into the other one. Consequently, if you take a rotten strawberry and put it into a whole box of green strawberries, it rotten them before they ripe. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. You see, you know the bad ones, but you don't. Amen. So, here you are. These sons of God who come forth first, they are going to activate the rest of the brethren who are nearly ripe. And they're going to come forth too in a quick time. But that the greater blessing is going to be the next crop of people. For the next crop of people are going to come forth faster than we came forth. It takes us 6,000 years to come forth in the perfection of God. That's what is going to take the first crop of us to come forth. The second crop is going to come forth quicker. The third crop will be coming forth quicker. And it's going to come to pass, said the Lord God Almighty, that the day will come when children will be born and come forth in the nature of Jesus Christ. It's going to be quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. The natural change to the spiritual. The natural change to the spiritual. Until women will minister to children in their wombs. Hallelujah. And they will come forth in the glory of God. Supernatural beings. Oh, hallelujah. You get me excited. Bless God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. It just hurts me down to my toes to see people walking in low ground virtually. And when you start telling them a little up there, they start saying you're a false prophet. Hallelujah. None of these fellows can face me and tell me I'm a false prophet, because I love them to death. And when I finish love them, they confess that, well, I'm sorry, but you're not a false. I've never met one. I've never met a man who stood before me and said or thought in his heart that I was a false prophet and was able to say before me and confound me and walk off with that thought. I've never met one. They will say I'm a false prophet, but when it comes to the word of God, they won't win me. You know why? Because I have somebody telling me what scripture to tell them. It's not my knowledge of the word that is doing the trick. If the trick is that I've never preached one message twice. If I call a message by a certain name and I start preaching it, God starts showing me new things in the message. And so I could preach the same message every night here, it would make any difference. Amen. Amen. Praise God Almighty. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. You see, Jesus went through it first. He broke through it, and he broke through in death, because the only demonstration of life is death. The only demonstration of life is death. In other words, if you get immortality, how would I know? Chop your head off. And then if you pick up your head and come back, I say, beg your pardon. Beg your pardon. You are really immortal.
Would he know it before?
Well, he's got to know it. Jesus knew it before. That's why he made them kill him. And he wanted to die the most gruesome death, and he wanted men to come test him to see that he's dead. So that's why the fellow came and plunged the sword through his side and fulfilled the scripture with the blood and water coming out, and he knew that he was a dead man. And these Roman soldiers know a dead man when they see him. And they said he was dead, and they buried him for dead. And he lied down there for a while, and then after 3 days he got up. Amen. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to give you one sign, you folks. He said, I'm going to give you one sign, the sign of Jonas. 3 days and three nights in the belly of hell, and said, the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the grave. Now, if you check through your whole Bible, you'll see that the Bible said that Jesus Christ rose on the morning of the third day. Check your whole Bible. Check the prophecies. The prophecies said, after 2 days, I'll raise them up on the third day. So see, there are two things there. Somebody said, well, the Bible is wrong. You know? Bless God. Everywhere they say the Bible is wrong, there's a great revelation. The revelation is that Jesus Christ was raised on the morning of the third day, but we, the sons of God, will be down for 3 days and three nights, exactly like Brother Lazarus. 3.5 days. You understand what we're talking about? I'm reading from Revelation 11, with two witnesses who shall lie down in the streets of the city for 3 days and a half. Right? And 3 days and a half, no matter what you do, you must get 3 days and three nights. You see, 3 days and a half is going to give you 3 days and three nights. And these fellows are going to rise up as a proof to this generation and to this people of pure immortality, so that nobody will doubt them anymore, neither the Christian nor the sinner, for we have had too many false prophets around and false Christ, false miracle workers. But any time we see them kill the people of God and they rise up back after 3.5 days, and we look them in the eye, and some of them might be our family and our friends and the people we know, and we see them living again and feel them to be flesh and bone, we will understand that this is the beginning of the resurrection. So there will be no doubt about it. Nobody will be able to deceive anybody, say, I am Christ, and all that kind of nonsense. So this is how the first fruit company will come up and activate the harvest. Then, boom, 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 they'll start springing up all over, and it continue for 1,000 years. The resurrection will continue for 1,000 years. Actually, the resurrection started in the first 1,000 years. Jesus, the first fruit, the head. And the other first fruits are coming after him, which is the body. So the whole of Christ shall rise as a mighty man and walk through the land. So we are part of Christ. Don't you understand what we're talking about? You are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And the head and the body must be in the same condition before we start ministering as Christ. Are you with me now? Come on. Somebody's mind slipped away. It's not too hard for you to understand. Jesus Christ is the head. He rose up first. And if you see a head coming up, what would you look for next? A body. And then what part of the body comes after the head? Well, the neck is the time between the head and the shoulders. You get it? The neck is the neck of time between the head and the shoulders. So head come and neck coming up. Then at the end of neck, what comes? Shoulders. And God said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. So the shoulder is the strength now. The strength of God coming forth. Then the whole body will be pulled out. Legs and all. That's the resurrection. Every man in his own order. What part of the body are you? You'll come up in your time and in your order. Hallelujah. Amen. Once the first fruits come forth, nobody else die. No more Christians die. Say, we are never die. That is never die.
The world, everything will be looking to him. You know, they'd rather have to him.
Sister, we need to. to run after Jesus. That's one point. Secondly, is that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. It's not Jesus alone that's going to be like that, but we're going to be like him too. A flesh and bone body full with power and glory and the power to live here completely in a different realm, in a higher spiritual order of being. This is the order of being God is creating. Therefore, the head and the body must be in the same condition. Now, where is our head?
Well,
sister, the Bible is specific, right? Now, if you could explain this scripture for me, I would be able. I'm glad you say that. I must let you know that. Whatever is in us, we must discuss it together. We must. Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you what form he's going to appear in, because the Bible is explicit in two places, and I'm going to show you in two places. You find for me, sister, the second place, and I will find Acts chapter 1. You know which I'm talking, babe? Body, our body fashioned like unto his. Acts chapter 1 and somewhere around verse 7. Sister dear, if your heart is open, cry. All right. And I believe that you believe it. And this is why we need this oneness in love together. And this oneness in love together is going to bless us. For if I am wrong tonight, we must find out. And if you are wrong, then you should be able to see it too, because the Spirit of God is here and helping all of us. Now, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come again, come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. Go into heaven. Praise God. Now, Jesus Christ, when he was standing there, he had a flesh and bone body. For he went to lengths to tell the brethren, push your hand in my side. Feel me, I am not a spirit, he said. I am flesh and bone. Jesus said that. Now this body was lifted up above their heads, and then it disappeared into a cloud. Now, the scripture there, I went into the Greek and I checked it out, and I tried to see if I could find any difference of meaning, and those words are so firm, no Greek scholar has ever been able to shake that piece of scripture. Jesus Christ, therefore, in my opinion, would come just as he was when he went up. Now, what do you see in that, sister?
Well,
he disappeared into a spirit cloud. We'll admit that.
I don't see, that I can't just come right out and say, like, there, black and white. I feel within me, just like for years and years, when they've been preaching, you know, about being taken out of the rapture, and God was going to be God. I never did, but I had no argument. I had no voice. I kept quiet. And, you know, but I, within me, was a witness that something was wrong. So
amen.
And for years, I just kept going off. You know, the voice saved me. How are you going to know me? Because I hear different forms. And all these, this inward voices. And if Jesus would come back, like, he said, well, Jesus is in Jerusalem. Oh, I got to go see him. Everybody would be looking at him instead of his body. So,
No, well. well.
We walk as God.
You,
we are entering God.
You can understand. We are not God. We are being made, yes, we are part of his body. That's right. And the part represented here, we are part of the body of Christ. Each of us is a part, a member of this massive body. But we are not yet fully formed. So we are coming into the perfection to be like him. So when we come to this change, when we become like him, we'll be able to see him. Right? Spiritual, but not spirit. No, that is spiritual, mean like spirit. But spirit, we won't be. We will be spiritual beings. But we will have power like spirits have, that we can change our form. We can move from place to place.
This is the end of message. M058. The power of the spoken word.